It's always great when artists drop by KLEF. It's got to be an artist who's willing to get out of bed early. And we found one.
Oh,
good morning.
Good morning.
Connor McDonald, you're in town to do HMS Pinafore.
I am indeed.
Had you heard of Anchorage Opera before the phone rang?
Yes, I had.
Why?
Well, because many of my colleagues have worked at Anchorage Opera before. A gentleman by the name of Kurt Olds, who your listeners may be familiar with, he's an old favorite at Anchorage Opera. And so I have known Kurt for a couple years now, and I knew he worked up here. And I actually have sung for Judy and Reed before. So I had met them before coming here. And
so it's a network.
It's a network.
Opera, you hire the people you know, and you know the people you hire.
Exactly, yeah. Opera singing across the country, whether you're in Anchorage or in Chicago or in Miami, it's a very tight-knit group of musicians and administrators and directors and stage managers who all work all over the place and who kind of know each other. So to answer your question, I did indeed know of Anchorage Opera before I knew I was going to
be involved. Had you heard good things?
Of course. Any company that is bringing opera to a community is doing good things, in my opinion. Yeah.
So the phone rings, and they say, hey, how'd you like to come do Captain Corcoran?
Yeah.
Did it go just like that?
Well, it's an email, if you want to get very specific about it. I'm a managed singer, so my manager sends me emails of offers of things that I might be interested in. And so I look over the offer, I look over the role, I take a look at the score, make sure that I could sing it, and be proud of the singing that I had done. And then I say yes or no. And this I was very excited to say yes to. I love, Gilbert and Sullivan. I love doing Gilbert and Sullivan. This is my third GNS production in my singing life. And it's delightfully fun stuff.
Have you done Captain Corcoran before?
I haven't. This is my first time as Captain Corcoran. And he's a delightful character. He finds himself stuck between a rock and a hard place for most of the opera. And I really enjoy finding the sort of manic ways in which he tries to get himself out of these situations, or he tries to sort of smooth the situation over. Yeah.
Well, with Gilbert and Sullivan, there's something of a quandary,
mm-hmm.
I think,
mm-hmm.
in that, well, we don't want to give the story away. We don't want to spoil her. But on the other hand, the story is kind of straight up and well-known.
Exactly.
Let's put it this way. By the opera's end, Captain Corcoran isn't the captain anymore.
He is not. No, he is not.
And he's, in a way, what can you say? He's a charlatan, but he doesn't know it.
Yes, well, it's a case of mistaken identities and sort of lives lived in stations that you weren't necessarily born into. So without giving too much away, well, it sort of gives everything away. But now that you've done it, I'll do it.
It's my fault.
Exactly. I accept very little responsibility for this. Captain Corcoran was switched with a lowly sailor. Or how do I want to say this? Captain Corcoran and another character called Rafe were switched at birth. And Rafe, the tenor, sung by Jonathan Reason, was born to a high social standing. And my character, Captain Corcoran, was born to a low social standing. But we were switched at birth. The nursemaid switched us up, and we went to the wrong families. So I, the lowborn, lived my entire life going through the Naval Academy and, you know, becoming very, very well versed in his job and becoming very, very good at what
he does.
He's
a good captain.
He's punctilious. He is just, to the T, the captain that you want. And his crew love him for it. He's very good at what he does. But by birth, that's not his station. And Rafe, who is a sailor on the ship, on the HMS Pinafore, is similarly great. He's articulate. He uses lofty language. He's, he's very eloquent. And he has strength of purpose. He has a strong moral center. And he knows what's right and what's wrong. And he was born in a position of social capital, basically. So we've both lived each other's lives, basically. And by the end of it, we're switched, and everything is sort of Everyone has returned to their proper place.
Well, let me ask you a little historical speculation.
Oh, I hope I can...
Well, just make something up.
Sure.
Americans look at this and they say, oh, how British. Mm-hmm. You're born to what? And since the two characters you've described do switch roles gladly, after all, if I'm born to this, this is what I deserve.
Yeah.
And they're all very happy about it. Americans, I think, look at that as, oh, how British.
Exactly.
But when the show was brand new, mm-hmm. what did the British think? Did they think this was ridiculous?
I imagine that they may have felt a bit of relief or a bit of catharsis seeing this situation play out on stage, because to my understanding, Victorian England was a place where your social position was defined, and that in America we like to think that we have many opportunities for upward mobility, that if we're born into a certain position we can work our way out of that, whether or not that's true. Who can say? But at the time, our social positions were calcified, I think. And for a middle-class audience, because that's who Gilbert and Sullivan were writing this for, they were writing this for an emerging bourgeois class.
Suddenly there were people who could afford to go to the theater.
Exactly, who had the time and the money to go divert themselves for 2 hours. And so to be able to see that a high-born person could be, I think they would have taken perhaps quite a bit of delight in seeing someone of a high social rank reduced to a position of low social rank.
Don't we all love that?
Exactly. It's nice to see some comeuppance. Though the piece, it's not kind of vindictive like that. The end of the piece is lovely. Everyone's quite happy that things have shuffled out where they are. But for the audience, I think it would have been, it would have been a bit cathartic maybe to see some social fluidity on stage and to know that that was a conversation that could be happening when many people probably felt quite frustrated.
You've got a great number.
I've got a couple great numbers, yeah.
Well, let's play one.
Wonderful. Which one is this?
Well, you tell me.
Well, this could be I Am the Captain of the Pinafore.
That's the one I think.
That's lovely.
I can sing. Well, singing isn't what I do. I can hum along.
You could most definitely. Gilbert and Sullivan write very sort of simple melodies for their singers. So, you know, for a baritone, this is all to say, it's hummable, it's really accessible music.
And it's toe-tappable.
It's totally toe-tappable. I highly recommend that, you know, you come see the show, because it's going to be a delightful evening.
I'm coming Saturday night.
Saturday night, and our opening is this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You'll definitely leave the theater humming some of the tunes. They're very memorable. So this is all to say, I think you could sing it if you wanted to, but...
But I won't.
But you won't.
But let's listen to this recording.
Great.